people. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Yes. Out for another day of broadcast insolence.
Do you know what? It is going to be hotter here than it is in St. Augustine, Florida, where the alligator is going over the next few days. Take that.
Now,
he should have stuck around a couple days. Don't they like it really, really hot?
I would imagine. I don't know. Maybe even they get too hot. They like to get out in sun, then they get in the water, then they sun, then they get in the water.
Yeah.
Like me on vacation.
It's
basically
like
the
you.
Same deal. Yeah. And I float around. I don't really swim. I float.
Do you like to jump out and scare all the kiddos all of a sudden?
When I do, I do. Yeah, that's true. And then I like to, you know what I like to do? I like to kind of settle up to the side of the pool with my drink on the, you know, concrete part. The little rounded concrete part, you got to be very careful.
You do. You want to put a plastic cup.
Yes, and you want to make sure that you don't like place it down on the curvature part.
No, right.
Because that can happen all the time. And then you've got spillage, and then that's not good.
Pay for another drink.
Right. Then you have, excuse me, nurse.
And then there's bees and wasps.
Ugh. Yeah, that can happen too. And I like to sit there, and then every once in a while, I like to dunk my head and then take a sip. And then dunk my head. It's very religious, the way I handle this.
So you do like the swim-up bars, then, it sounds like. Do you like
No, no.
No, you don't
No,
do
no,
those.
We talked about
no,
that.
No, I remember you said that was not your thing, but I would think that would be perfect because you have the perfect amount of being in the pool but still having your cocktail access on a level surface.
Yes, but I want the cocktail, but I don't want a swim-up pool because people are just sitting there going in the bathroom.
Ro got a warm bath last time he pulled up to the swim-up bar.
We talked about this when you were gone. Yeah,
I think it was when I was here, just before I left, because I actually remember this conversation quite vividly.
Yeah,
it was kind of hard to forget.
Yeah, right. Ones like that, I don't really
What's
forget.
That warm stream of water across my
it's kind of cloudy down. Oh God!
Yeah.
See, Ro, I see you with a raft and like with the double cup holder.
No, I'm not a raft guy. No, I'm in the water. I like the water. I like to be in the water till I start to model. You know, when you get that kind of.
It's tough to look good on a float too. You know, you're kind of in a weird angle. Everybody can see you floating across the pool.
Yeah.
It's just a bad look.
Yeah,
it
kind of is. The only people who look good on those are the ones who are in the ads for those floats.
Right.
Otherwise, you're always kind of sunk in there and sort of like weirdly
Even
positioned.
Fit people all of a sudden have a beer gut when they're on the little floaty thing.
That's why I like the chairs that you're like sitting in the water, but like the upper half of your body is being held up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Covers
those
you
are
a
nice.
Little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so
kind of.
You're still like floating. You're just popping around the pool, but you're actually half in it.
Pro move.
Pro tip. We got to get those. You know what we should get? Official Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis branded chair floaties is what we need.
That could change our lives.
Yeah.
That's really a good idea. I don't use those.
We need to sell those in the next week, though. We better call China.
Get See, China on the
I'm
phone.
Sure China would be able to handle this. Hello, China.
Comes with free floating cooler.
Yeah. See, that would be good. At the right. I like the idea of that.
You missed out on that on Amazon Prime days.
Yeah. I did.
Could have found those.
Although, I got home and my
Did you find your stuff?
Yeah, I got one thing yesterday and I got the rest are coming tomorrow. Everything else.
My ship day is tomorrow too. I'm very excited. It's like Christmas Eve tonight.
Right. And they're sending all the things from, and they're all like disparate kinds of items. You know, there's a clothing item. There's some tools. There's some, you know, it's like, and they're all coming in the same box.
Hair product.
And I want to know it, right? And the hair product.
Uh-huh.
I want to know how it is that they got all of that into the same box.
Yeah, where do they keep these things?
I don't know. In a place where they got robots, I guess, and drones. I don't know. All I know is that I got a jackhammer, hair gel, T-shirts. It's going to be perfect.
You know, the only interesting thing with the Amazon, for as great as it is, how quick it is, sometimes like they have people can deliver this stuff for Amazon. You know, they hire them out.
Right.
Right.
And it looks like just some guy walking around your neighborhood with packages in his hand. You're like, does that guy work for Amazon? Or is he walking over from the store? Or did he just steal something from someone?
That's exactly the point. Is he working for Amazon or taking the Amazon?
Right. They don't have, like, uniforms.
Now,
just a guy walking around.
When I was driving home last night and I turned down my street, I noticed that there were two, like, budget trucks.
Right.
You know, budget rental trucks.
Is that what they use?
And that's what, for Amazon Prime days, they had to hire all these people.
Oh, because the loads were so big, they didn't have to just put them in their car.
Right. So they had to. So these things were like, you know, coming out of nowhere.
But are those guys generally? Do you find the quality control is good? Like they're not. They're leaving it in kind of a hidden position.
They're punting it onto your porch,
right? You know, does that vary a little bit? Is there a little bit of
You know, it's funny. I was at a block party over the weekend, and the guy was in sort of an unmarked budget van, and he's walking, and I was outside, so everyone's like, is that for me? Is that for me? And everyone's approaching right. this guy, because you don't really know. He's just kind of walking around, dropping stuff off.
We are, you know what? Amazon had made us all eight-year-olds again.
I know. We're like, here it comes. That's mine. No, it's mine. I'm totally expecting stuff. It's not yours. I saw the UPS guy and the postal guy today, U.S. Post Office letter carrier, and they both had a ton of packages. So it's clear that it's not just the Amazon that did well on the Prime days.
Right.
It is, everybody else. All the other retailers got in on the game.
Right. And sometimes the Amazon arrives by way of, you know, not by Amazon. Not necessarily delivered by Amazon, but it can be sent by Amazon. And then it's showing up, one of those things, UPS, I guess, right? I don't know. Whatever they got to do. Postal, right? Because the president threatened to cut off their postal unless the Washington Post starts saying nice things about him. I don't know how that's not illegal, but he said it. Anyway, it's hot as hell.
It is.
Which is why, if we could just bring this conversation back to where we started, this is why we need the Lauren Lapka. I'm sitting in a chair, but I'm still in the water chair.
I'm doing both.
Yes. We need to somehow get ourselves a hold of that. And we're going to find out in just a moment how exactly bad this is. Mike Jantz is going to join us from WGN TV Weather. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Row Mayor Lightfoot rolling the dice on five possible casino locations in the city.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN TV. One of our loyal listeners, Ro, just proved you right.
Yeah.
Also a scanner traffic listener. She just direct messaged me on Twitter to tell me that some kids on scooters on the Kennedy Expressway right shoulder. Irving Park and Addison.
I told you.
You said Lakeshore Drive, but this is almost worse.
Yeah, I told you they're going to find the way. Hey!
Let's go that way. It's faster.
Yeah, let's go up. We go up the hill, and it comes right on the other side. We'll be fine. All right. Lauren, get on that. Mike Jansen is joining us right now from the WGN TV Weather Center. And Mike, all hell's going to break loose here, is it not?
It's going to be hot as hell.
Yeah.
For some people.
There you go. All right. Now, because I heard yesterday when you were doing the forecast, you said heat indices as high as 115 degrees.
What?
Yeah. It's going to feel, for some of us, we could feel like it's between 105 and 115 degrees starting tomorrow afternoon and running all the way through Saturday afternoon. So those afternoon peak heating hours, it basically what we're telling people is to use common sense and not be outside for long periods of time. Limit those strenuous activities. It's a good excuse to, not do construction, not climb up on your roof and put shingles on, whatever it may be. To get yourself
Mike, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I will do neither of those. I will do neither of those for the next 2 days. I'm just going to let you know that.
And if somebody was supposed to come to your house and do that for you, they won't be coming and doing that for you either.
Don't expect
I don't know about that. I mean, if I'm paying them, I have a responsibility. You know how that goes. All right, so this is about as hot as it has been in how long?
We'd have to go back. The last time we were 98 degrees or warmer was back in 2012. So it's been a while. July 2012, we got up to 103 degrees on the 6th of July. So it's been a while since we've even been up to 98. So that was 103 that day. We could be flirting, looks like, with maybe 100 here on Friday and Saturday.
The high records, humidity.
Yeah. It's going to be jungle weather, basically, is what it is. If you've ever been to Miami, maybe in the middle of summer, I don't know why you would go in the middle of summer, but that's what it's going to feel like here. When you get to be this soupy, this much of an air mass that just hangs on you throughout the day and at night, and that's the thing that's really going to stink, is at night, especially in the city, we may not get out of the 80s. So relief
that's
is going to be hard to find.
Right. That's the setup for 1995. As a matter of fact, a little bit later on the program, Richard Roper is going to be here. He's going to be reviewing that movie Cooked, which is it's a documentary about the 95 heat wave here and what happened and why it was so bad. And the funny thing is, earlier in the spring, spring into the summer, like we were in the middle, like sort of beginning of June, when we were not really hitting summer yet, and it was still cold and murky here. the we had a number of meteorologists that were on the show. You were not one of them at the time, Mike, but that said this was the exact setup for the summer of 1995. It was a late summer. It was a a long, prolonged, wet, cold spring. And then all of a sudden, when it turned, and in part because the humidities were high, because the ground has never been able to, you know, fully dry out after all the rain that we received during the spring and the early part of the summer. And then you had these air masses come in, and it just locked it down. And if it doesn't get below 80 degrees, that's at night, that's really the issue, because people can't find relief.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, too. John Williams asked me earlier today about getting relief maybe close to the lake. That's not going to be the case. We're going to push this heat, mid-90s temperatures, all the way to the lake. So if you want to cool down, it's not going to the beach. You actually have to get into the water if you want to try and cool yourself off. That concrete and steel, it just holds onto that heat all night long. And you may have a fan at your house, but all you're going to do if you don't have air conditioning is blow that hot air around. It's not going to do anything really to cool you off. So that's what, you know, the city has learned so much. We all have. Yeah. We've learned so many things since 1995. I can't see us having a repeat of that unless maybe you had a citywide power outage where we just did not have any way of cooling any buildings down. Things have changed so much, the lessons we learned from them. But again, you know, whenever we start putting out these excessive heat watches or excessive heat warning, which is now in place, you know, it's more about telling the public, you know, don't be stupid. You know, I mean, it's the same thing when it was super cold this winter. That's the amazing thing when you look back at the fact that we had wind chills earlier this winter that were approaching 40, 50 degrees below zero. And now you're talking about heat index readings. It could be maybe 115 degrees above zero.
Yeah, 155 degree differential in feel.
Yeah, or 165 degrees for that matter. I mean, some areas did get to close to 50 degrees below zero with those wind chills this winter. So just the extremes. We're starting to see more and more of this. And certainly, like you said, the very wet spring. And then, actually, during the midday news today, Steve Sanders says, you know what, I actually could use some rain. And that's the case in my neighborhood as well. It's been so spotty as of late. Those areas that have seen the showers and storms, they may get a whole lot of rainfall. Like earlier today, it was 90 degrees at O'Hare. And then the thunderstorm popped up over O'Hare, dropped temperatures down into the upper 70s. But that storm really didn't move much from where it was. So other parts of northern Cook County, like if you were in, say, Park Ridge, you probably could hear the thunder, see the lightning, and maybe smell the rain, but it never got to you.
No. Right. When does the relief happen, Mike?
It looks like probably not until late Sunday or maybe even Monday.
Oh.
I think
we're still in the upper
times on Sunday.
All right, you're fired. He's fired. Fire him!
I don't make the weather.
I don't like the answers. This is very Game of Thrones.
Off with his head.
Right. Are we going to have storms then that are going to cool us off?
We have the potential. We've had some storms today. We could have some passing tonight. And it looks like there's a decent chance for some storms getting in here later on tonight into tomorrow morning. But because the way we're going to set things up tomorrow, with the strong southwesterly winds, we're going to push the heat and humidity right back in here. Even if we get some morning cooling, say, between daybreak and around 9 o'clock in the morning, and then bring that rain chance down and out, we'll still push those highs into the mid-90s, it looks like, tomorrow, and then abundant sunshine on Friday, and that's when I think we'll be up close to 100 degrees.
All right.
And we could see a couple of thunderstorms on Saturday, though it's only like a 20 or 30% chance. So again, with all the humidity, if you do get rain in your neighborhood, it could be a whole lot. Like yesterday afternoon, getting a message out of Bourbonnais, inch and six tenths in a short period of time, but then it was gone, then the heat, you know, went right back up. So if you're looking for the relief, you're just going to have to wait this one out. You can't certainly count on rain moving into your neighborhood and cooling things off. I know my backyard is becoming brown, and so the lawnmower just sits.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it. Mike Jansen, WGN-TV Weather. I didn't like anything I just heard, but
nope.
You know what? I cannot shoot the messenger, though that has not
you
stopped me in the past. Yes. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim in 2 minutes. I don't know what happened there. Our announcer kind of lost interest halfway through his sound.
Yeah, it usually goes on a lot longer.
I don't know.
It's hot in Chicago, and it's getting hotter, Michael.
Yeah.
So, you know, things are a little wacky.
I'm back.
I had the 2.5 week cold that just wouldn't let go, but
it was not a fun thing. Cold. Oh, my gosh. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Yes,
I do too. I hope I feel better.
Usually, Ro's complaining about ailments that don't exist.
Yeah.
Now we actually have an issue on the show, and it's just stressing him out, Michael. This is just adding to the stress of things going on in the world.
Hey, Owen, I got enough problems. I was just, you know, it was a very funny thing. I was just talking to a friend this morning exactly about this issue. I wasn't really less of a friend and more of a doctor. And I said, you know, there's like a whole thing that goes on here. With, you know, like stress around all kinds of different things in your life. But then, the idea of, you know, like every, I'm having trouble turning on a television. Because every time I turn on the television, I get aggravated. The only thing I've been able to watch is that moon stuff on PBS. You know, they did the American Experience thing about Apollo 11.
Right.
It's really good.
Fascinating.
Talked to the director last week. That's good. And it was back then, there was some controversy back then too. The really interesting part about the one African American astronaut that was qualified for the Gemini program, but didn't make the Gemini program because mm-hmm. there were a bunch of folks in government that didn't want him in the South, interestingly enough, where they really kind of muscled, the space program into putting the major sort of pocketbook Democratic congressman from the South in the 1960s had muscled the move into Houston and into Alabama, the two major facilities for the space program. And those congressmen also didn't happen to like the idea that maybe we're going to have ourselves an astronaut didn't look like Deke Slayton. So there was some trouble there. And it was, you know, so even watching that, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I thought we kind of moved beyond this. And now we have this whole crazy tweet thing. I want to ask you this, because I'm not sure that by the definition of racism, as I understand racism, what the president tweeted is actually racist as much as it is nativist. It's bad no matter what it is, because he's telling people who are Americans to go home to their native countries that are crap hole countries. I mean, I know what he's saying here, but I think I think Republicans will go, well, that's not really racism. I mean, they're able to get away on the specifics of that without really addressing the general awfulness of it.
Well, let's look at this from two perspectives. The perspective of a 70-plus-year-old white male of a certain age and from a certain time who says to African-American women, in this particular case, to go back where you came from. There's not a black person, certainly of another certain age and time, who would understand that to mean anything other than what was intended. You are not welcomed here. You are not wanted here. This is not your country.
Right.
So, yes, it is racist. It is racist to say that because the underlying intent has nothing to do with, oh, going back to Harlem or going back to Queens or going back to, you know, Milwaukee or some other
right.
city or town you're from.
Mm-hmm.
It means leaving the country. It means this is not yours. You do not have ownership here. You are free to leave. And so, you know, all of the parsing that we've seen since the weekend on this, to me, is trying to rationalize the obvious, or more importantly, rationalizing away from the obvious. When a 70-year-old white man tells a young black woman, go back where you came from, there is no other way to take that. There is no, well, he didn't, you know, he didn't mean it to be raped. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And I think we need to be honest about that. I don't think we need to circumvent that truth. If he were 25 and said that, would it make a difference? I mean, you could probably nuance that a little bit more, but a 70-plus-year-old white man, come on. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that he had no idea what the intent of what his words would mean To those who those women he said it to, and those who heard him say it or tweet it.
Here's what I wonder about with him is that when he was saying how unhappy he was with America when Barack Obama was president, why didn't he get up and leave and go back to Wales or wherever the hell his family's from?
Scotland.
Why? I mean, that's the thing. Is it? And these are people who are elected to Congress. Now, I happen not to agree with their policies, and I do think that particularly where the squad stands on health care and a couple of other pieces of social policy that they think would be helpful here would probably be pretty dramatically bad for the United States. But that's to be determined in a political process. They got elected to Congress. That's the whole point. You don't get to tell people who you don't like, whether it's the press, well, you now you're the enemy of the people because you're reporting a story I don't like, or you're somebody who disagrees with me politically, so you got to go back away from your country. I mean, it's the instincts here play in such a weird way. But you, now I got to just say, you are the head of the Republican Party. You know that there's always been a certain quadrant of the party. Let's just stick with the Republicans here. You can say this about any group, but let's just stick with Republicans. That there was a quadrant of the Republican Party that is basically very nativist, right? And they don't like change. They don't like the idea of where this was. And you ran into it as the first black head of the Republican Party in the United States of America. So you, I mean, you specifically saw what this was like. Is there, and there's no way to really ever get to those people's hearts and minds because that's, I think that is who they are. But the president figures if he can really tap into them, that 30% within the party or whatever it is, he's going to be, those people will come out and they will die for him.
Yeah, they will. They will. They are the last remnants of the Southern strategy. They probably have infected future, you know, subsequent generations with that poison. But, you know, certainly those in, you know, 55 plus years old, are remnants of a mind-numbingly stupid policy, or political strategies, more appropriate, political strategy executed by the Nixon campaign in 1968. Take on those white segregationists who were fleeing the Democratic Party once the Democrats embraced civil rights. And Republicans moved off of civil rights because they saw what they thought was a bigger political prize, and that was the White House. And so we have, as a party, been I put it as strongly as I can, infected with the remnants of that. And many of us inside the party have had to deal with it. And, you know, they are now locked in, and they have manifest themselves in a variety of forms, and taken on issues that range everywhere from abortion to, you know, family values, et cetera, et cetera. And they have put this particular imprimatur on it, and Trump plays into that. He plays into the requisite fears and misogyny and racism and xenophobia and all the other isms and phobias that go along with people who think that, you know, they were the sole builders and founders and creators of this vast expanse called the United States of America. This is their country and nobody else's. Well, you know, like you just noted, the president himself is not, was not a Native American.
Right.
Only the Native Americans can say that. That's the warpness of the idea that, you know, after 240 plus years, their view of the world is this is our land and nobody else's.
Are there Republicans who are worried about this, do you think?
No. Because their calculation is myopic and short-sighted, and their calculation is we'll ride this, and, you know, we'll take the Senate, we'll hold the Senate, we'll take the House back next year, and we'll win the White House, and all will be right with the world. And okay, all of that happens, then what? Then what? And so there is no, as we've seen just on the vote yesterday, just to condemn the president's language and his tweet, only four Republicans could find the courage to do it. 180 plus, 187 or more said, we're good with that. So, you know, in subsequent elections, how do they go into the communities? How do they come to Chicago and speak to the South Side or speak to young people and say, or women and go, hey, we're the party for you. Mm-hmm. How do you start that conversation?
Yeah.
after you've embraced the very thing that those people find to be an anathema.
Talk about the Democrats, though, because there also seems to be concern, these offensive comments aside, about the policies that the squad is advocating and that maybe pulling the Democratic Party to the left. Pete Buttigieg was asked about it today. He said, I think it's very healthy to have a range of opinions. But at some point, there's a delicate balancing act that Nancy Pelosi is being forced to perform in advance of an election to ensure that they're still reaching the middle of the country.
Yeah, I think that that's a very important point, and the Democrats can't get out of their own way. They're redefining stupid right now, and it's just amazing to me that they have allowed themselves to be hijacked at a critical time in the political process by four women. This focus with Ocasio-Cortez leading off with the Green New Deal and all this other stuff. With an agenda that is not going to sell in the country. Your leading candidate for the nomination is not buying what they're selling because he knows the country is not going to buy the loss of their private health insurance. They're not going to buy the loss of their borders by opening them up and decriminalizing those who commit the crime of crossing the border illegally. So the national leadership knows this. So they're trying to box back, and Nancy's trying to say, you need to understand, you are a minority within our caucus. You were not the majority elected in 2018. The majority of those Democrats elected in 2018 were moderates. They came. A significant number of them came out of red states.
Right.
Those seats are now in peril. Nancy knows that. Republicans only need 21 seats next year, more than half of which will come out of red districts. You don't think with Donald Trump at the top of the ballot and with a hyped up Republican base that those seats aren't going to be difficult to keep? Oh, maybe even more so because now you're talking about policies that they don't even show up on a playbook in those districts. No one's talking about, no one wants to talk about that because it's not something they're going to buy. And yet you're forcing candidates, as Ocasio-Cortez has done, threatening to primary people. Well, who the hell are you? I mean, you're a freshman congressman. Learn to do the job and trust your leadership's judgment on the political stuff, because I think Nancy Pelosi knows how to be a progressive in this environment in a way that doesn't alienate voters. Look, I had my battles with Nancy. We've gone toe-to-toe. She won one, I won one. She lost her seat, I lost my seat. So we kind of
you're all even now. Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
so the fact of the matter is, regardless of what I may think of Nancy's policies and all of that, I do respect the fact that she knows what the hell she's doing. And the Democrats right now need to be more trusting of her instincts on this than they are of their own, because if they continue to listen to Omar and Ocasio-Cortez and Tlaib and others, Donald Trump is going to laugh his way all the way back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Okay, on that happy note, thank you very much, Michael. It was really nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Michael.
We'll talk to you next week. It's hot as hell in Chicago. Thanks for making it hotter, Michael.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Michael. All right.
Kim, help us.
Chicago's beloved alligator is packing up and heading south.
Who in the hell would want to swim in the Chicago River? We'll answer that question. Apparently, people are lining up to do it. We'll explain what that's all about. But first, Kim Gordon's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Khan Show with Anna DeBlasis right here on 720 WGN. All right, let's talk about something. I don't want to really belabor this point, but it does scare me just slightly.
Okay.
Because last night, you know, you got the White Sox taking mm-hmm. on the Kansas City Royals, who they had beaten pretty significantly throughout the season so far. Out of 12 games, they'd won 8, the Sox had. And then they lost the first one, dropped the first one in Kansas City. Last night, they get creamed 11-0. But right at the very top of the game in the first inning, there was a collision in outfield between Eloy Jimenez and Charlie Tilson.
Yeah.
And Eloy Jimenez was holding his arm in a very kind of season-ending kind of way. When he was coming off the field, and this would be the second time he's been on the injured reserve list, and I am very concerned about this because he's one of the reasons that people are so excited about this season, and I need people to be excited about this season.
He's having a monster year. He really was. I mean, despite the injury and missing all that time, he still has 17 homers on the year. He's been diagnosed with a right ulnar nerve contusion.
All right, so we have to now we have the official orthopedic surgeon of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, yeah. Unpaid position. Sherwin mm-hmm. Ho is with us from University of Chicago Hospitals. He's also the former medical director for Team USA Volleyball, and he's now Team China Volleyball. He actually won a gold medal,
what?
Sort of, at the 2016 Olympics with Team China's women's volleyball team, including that woman who was like 7 feet tall. I don't know. She was very impressive. And so I guess the question here is, and you're a White Sox fan, so this is like a perfect sort of storm for you too, Sherwin. First of all, explain what that is.
So that's your funny bone, right? And your elbow.
Oh gosh, no. That even hurts when you touch it like a little hard.
Exactly. So ooh. If you nail it, you will feel like your season's about to end, but that's just what happens when you bang a nerve, and it, particularly the ulnar nerve, because it's so exposed. If the nerve is stable, in other words, if it's not slipping out of place, if it's just bruised, then it is a pretty short-lived, I mean, it's his funny bone, but, you know, a bad funny bone in contusion, a lot of force, but typically if everything is working, in other words, it'll be really sore. You won't want to move it. But if he gets back to the locker room and his fingers are moving and he's got feeling and all that, it's going to get better.
Like how long, typically, if it's just sort of a minor thing?
That's a little less predictable. It depends on how deep or how severe the injury to the nerve actually was. If it's just a contusion, like a bruise,
yeah.
And there's no actual damage to the little fibers of the nerve, then it's a couple days.
They put him on the 10-day IR.
What does that tell you?
Because he's Eloy Jimenez, and we don't want anything to happen to him. So, of course, I mean, you're just going to say, hey, let's wait.
Take a couple days. We'll be all right. We're going to go find some other guy.
Yeah. Play a little toss. Make sure everything's back. You know, there's you got your motion and your strength back. And then, you know, they'll bring him along slowly. If this were the middle of the World Series, he'd be coming back a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. But why would you risk it at this stage of the season? So
I did notice when he was coming off the field, one of the things that they did do while he was still on the field, actually, mm-hmm. They picked him up and he was moving all of his fingers. I did notice that because that was the first thing I thought about. If there were a break, it would be hard for him to do
right.
that. You know, that's or so. And based on how he was holding, they were working on his shoulder initially, but I think they were just trying to stabilize him to stabilize his elbow. And then he kept his arm very straight as he was coming off the field. It was a poop show in Kansas City last night. There was another pretty significant injury that happened to a Royal in that game as well. So it's been, there's bad mojo right now, Sherwin.
It seems like it.
Not a good night for the Sox.
The collision with Eloy didn't look so bad until you saw him bend over and grovel in pain. It just looked like sort of a collision like you see a lot, but then boom, you could tell it was hurting.
Right. So it doesn't take much. I mean, nerves, when you get it just in the right spot, doesn't take a whole lot. As you know, if you've ever bumped your funny bone, it doesn't take a whole lot to send the shockwaves up. And when an athlete comes off the field or tells you his arm goes numb, you don't You don't know exactly what nerve he dinged, but the more common one, the more common injury is to dislocate your shoulder. So that's why they're going to first, the first thing they're going to say is, oh, make sure his shoulder's okay. Once they figure that out, then, okay, let's get him back. And, you know, if it's the ulnar nerve at the elbow, that's,
Of all the things that could have been, based on the severity of how it looked, this is probably the one of the better case scenarios.
Absolutely.
All right.
Good to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Sherwin, when I wake up in the middle of the night and my hand is completely numb.
Yes.
And
that's,
now
we call that psychosomatic.
I want to know.
That's a term. I've been looking for that term.
Sometimes
psychosomatic.
Sometimes I just stroke my face because I feel like somebody else is in bed with me being nice to me.
Does that just mean you slept on it?
No, actually,
wrong.
That ulnar nerve neuritis or neuropathy, the numbness from the ulnar nerve. We call that. There's a term for that. We call that cubital tunnel syndrome. But you can get that simply with leaving your arm in a bent or flexed position for too long.
Yeah.
So if you're sleeping with your arm bent,
and
oftentimes you'll start to move it in your sleep and relieve that stretch on the nerve, but the nerve gets stretched with your elbow flexed. And if you don't wake up, if you're in a deep sleep, you'll wake up and your arm's like asleep, right? But if you just strain out your arm, it takes the stretch off the nerve and the nerve recovers.
All right. Okay, just one.
Yep.
Okay,
that was helpful.
See, I noticed how I had to work my own diagnosis into this. This is not the first time I've done this to Sherwin over the years.
Take a look at this for a second,
here. In actuality, like for Eloy, right? If you want to protect the nerve, sleeping is one of those times where you don't want it to stretch and irritate the nerve because you want it to recover as quick as possible. So we actually have them wear like an elbow pad on their, but with the pad in the front of the elbow instead of in the back of the elbow. And what that does is while you're sleeping, it keeps you from bending your elbow while you're sleeping. So for you, Ro,
that's I gotta get one of those.
You need those.
That's my RX.
Or can you have an ulnar like pad that he wears all the time so no one ever bumps him on his funny bone?
So exactly. So when you're up and awake and doing stuff, you wear the pad on the back side,
there
right?
There you go.
To protect the funny bone, so to speak. But when you're sleeping, we flip it around so that you don't bend the elbow and you don't stretch the nerve while you're sleeping.
Okay. Sherwin, why don't you come over and wrap that for me? Because, you know, those guys. I'm just going to tell this story that once I happened to have been on a golf course with Sherwin Ho, and I went down, one of the many times I've snapped my ankle, and I went down, and Sherwin literally stepped over me on the way to the golf cart.
You're okay.
Yeah.
What's that word again? Psychosomatic.
I just want to point that out. That did once happen. I shall so testify. All right. Thank you, Sherwin.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks, Sherwin.
Talk to you later.
Sherwin Ho, University of Chicago Hospitals.
Sigh of relief for White Sox fans.
Yeah, that's great news there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I mean, it makes sense if you knock your funny bone on like a desk or you're in so
it
much
hurts.
Pain, but you can't, normally can shake it off. Obviously, his a little bit more further extent, but overall, that seems best case scenario considering what it looked like last night.
Well, isn't contusion just a fancy word for bruise?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, but yeah, funny bone bruise, probably not ideal.
Can you imagine if they reported that on the official updates?
Right. Well,
funny bone bruise.
Yeah, well, people don't want to say that, but we have the exact same reaction everybody will have, which is you almost want to throw up when you hear it because it's like, imagine like the worst funny bone incident of all times. Because it really does. It's the worst feeling in the world.
It is. Totally is.
So.
You find yourself in the fetal position after you knock your foot.
Exactly.
So much.
I know. So that's good news.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very, very good. If that is the extent of it based on what they've told us. Mm-hmm. Are they required to tell us the truth in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, baseball, they're pretty descriptive of what it's not like hockey.
Right.
Baseball, they give you pretty much the full medical report on it.
Okay.
Full diagnosis.
All right, good. Football's a little goofy too because football's now required to tell you.
They're a lot, the NFLPA. Than they used to be,
yeah. They used to go, hey, rub some dirt on it. Yeah. Like they would have said that to Zach Miller. Hey, rub some dirt on it. You're fine.
You're fine. Just pop it back in place.
Yeah, you're fine.
Oh.
We'll tape that bone right back into that leg.
Yeah.
You could have died, but you didn't.
You didn't.
Get back out there.
All right.
Yeah, 50 days till NFL kickoff season.
I know.
Season opener.
and training camp next week. They got this event in Decatur on the 21st to celebrate the 100-year situation. It's right around the corner.
And then when is the first preseason game that I have to refuse to watch, and then I'm just being nervous the entire time waiting for an injury report?
That'll be Thursday, August 8th.
That's really soon.
Mm-hmm. I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need preseason at all. I want to hire nothing but like total patsies for the preseason.
I'm fine with that too. I mean, Nagy was pretty conservative about playing time last preseason, which I know bothers some, but look, that was the most healthy the Bears have been throughout a full season in a long time.
Right. I know there's two arguments for that.
Yeah.
The argument of, you got to let them play, they got to get into shape, because the better shape they're in, the less injury prone they will be. That is true. Mm-hmm. But if you got them in shape, you got them in the weight room, you got them doing all that stuff, and you got them, mildly, but like full contact,
forget
about it.
If they're not on the field, yeah, I mean, that's...
Why would you risk a guy?
It's risky.
Oh, for God's sake. I don't care. I don't have to see these guys in preseason. It doesn't count. That's going to help me. Or my friend... Nick, it's not going to help him either.
I love the guys that bet the preseason, even though it's
a third
stringer.
Do people bet the
preseason?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
The degeneration that it takes to bet preseason.
Third string guys you never heard of, and they're into it.
Yeah, because it's a whole other style of betting. I mean, that's for really, those are the same guys who bet high school football.
Mm.
They want to find. They try to find out who the pregnant cheerleader is.
Oh God!
Oh,
gee!
Honest to God,
how do you get that intel?
They got it. They somehow get it. There's always a snitch. There's like a 10th grader who's a snitch.
Yeah, you know what I heard?
That's my sister, and she was crying in the kitchen with my mother last night.
Oh, gee!
And I heard pregnant.
Oh, no.
That's exactly right.
And then the bet lines change.
But, the bet line, first thing, doesn't have it. They don't establish a line. They go, I'll tell you what was going to happen right now.
Two lines mean she's pregnant, right?
Mother Mary Catherine is going to beat St. Josephat von Steubein 65-0. What? All right. Is it time now for, I would imagine, Kim? That's right. Kim's got the news at the bottom of the hour. What's happening?
Dangerous heat heading to Chicago tomorrow afternoon.
Me mind on fire. Me soul on fire. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Oh, man. We had Mike Jansen on from WGN-TV. He said it's going to be 115 degrees. It's going to feel like it's 115 degrees on Friday.
That feels like really scares me.
Oh, hell no.
115.
No.
Brutal.
Now, again, it was as low as, I mean, I remember during the vortex, right? It was like 40 below down here. That's what it felt like. So that's 155 degree
in a couple of
differential.
Months.
I mean, it's crazy.
I thought today felt really hot.
Muggy today.
Right?
Real
muggy and
muggy.
Hot. I took my dog on a walk, and she's like, okay, we're gone. We're done. You know, like, come back. Like, it was too hot. I'm like, okay, tomorrow's a lot hotter.
Even last night, I was at the Cubs game, and it was so humid. It was super, super hot.
Humble brag.
I did see the Schwarber walk-off home run, if you want to know.
Yeah. The thing I...
Did you try to push yourself in front of some little kids in order to...
No, but my Thai guy is actually defending himself now today.
All right, so for people didn't see that, this guy, Schwarber hits to left center. He hits the walk-off home run, right?
Mm.
Sort of a pop-up.
Into the basket. Got in there.
Just got in the basket, and then the kids are going for it, and the guy with a Mai Tai in one hand reaches in and then holds it up and starts dancing, right? Stealing it from the children. And there was some backlash, right, to Mai Tai guy. Has Mai Tai guy identified himself?
Oh, yeah. He's proud. Doubling down on his decision.
Christopher Sorley, he's a handyman from Chicago.
I love the reaction on social media. People are like, this guy's a horrible person. Shame this man. Take it easy on Mai Tai.
He says the kids know the rules.
Kids know the rules.
That you trample them to get the ball?
Trample them.
Hey.
He just has a longer arm. He can reach into the basket.
Right. Exactly. It's a live ball.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, kids, if you know, grow up, get a longer arm, and you'll get your own baseball.
It's not like it was my turn now. By the fans.
It's not like it was a foul ball. It's a walk-off homer.
Yeah. I got to have this. I'm going to put it in a plastic case I'm going to get at the Container Store for $40.
Right. And then tell everybody how I pushed two little kids out of the way in order to get it.
There should be a picture of you pushing the kids. Put that right underneath the plastic box.
See what I had to do in order to grab this ball?
Damn kids.
as someone with little arms, I would be very upset, too. It's not fair that my arms aren't long enough to get it.
Yeah.
Especially when it fell right in front of me, not you, sir.
Oh, exactly. Imagine a 7-year-old Lauren Lapka gets pushed aside.
No. I imagine a 29-year-old Lauren Lapka getting pushed aside and then going total spider monkey on the guy's face.
Roundhouse right. kick to his forehead.
Yeah. I honestly,
I'll get that.
He didn't have that beard anymore. Let's just put it that way.
Let's just put it this way. I might have seen something similar to that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
there might have been
he had it coming.
There might have been a moment like that where we literally had to hold her back in a situation.
Lauren sticks up for herself.
For that. Yeah.
So that's what it is. All right. Don't anybody move. We're going to have the news here with Kim Gordon. It's very fancy. She went to the baseball game, watched the walk-off last night. She's going to be able to tell us all about what's happening in our little fair world. And then why would you go swimming in the Chicago River? We will explain that to you. There are people lining up to do it. We'll explain that on the other side. But first... Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yes. Here is your chance right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200, rips us off for 4 passes to the 12th Annual Blackhawks Convention, July 26th to the 28th at the Hilton in Chicago, featuring current players, alumni, autographs, photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and so much more. Visit Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today. All right. That's going to be a
nice.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's one of the best things we give away.
Oh, it's so much fun.
And we're going to be there for the opening ceremonies. No big deal. Kevin's going to be performing the opening ceremonies.
I think I just found out I'm not doing it this year.
Oh, you're not?
A little run with
that's
that.
A downer.
What?
Well, normally Steve can't do it, but he can do it this year. So Steve Cochran and Dave are going to do it.
Oh.
Are you sure Steve's going to show up for that?
Oh, man.
You might want to stand by.
I'll be on standby.
Okay.
I'll be around. You know how things are kind
evening
of...
Evening stuff. You know, for a guy who gets up that early in the morning, right. Sometimes it's hard.
Hmm.
All right.
So.
All right.
But we'll be there.
Okay.
I like to go, because they always set up the little floor hockey rink for the kids. Yeah. I like to get in there and show them how to rough it up a little bit.
You can pull the Mai Tai guy thing.
Right.
Step aside, kids. Yeah. Push them away.
That's how you drop the gloves, punk.
You know the rules.
Right.
I'd like to see you actually do the opening ceremonies for that.
Yeah, there we go. Little Tommy coming in at 4'8". He's a scrapper. Great puck handling still.
All right, kids, stop fighting in line.
Single file. Single file. I'm going to tell your mother about this.
Oh, God. All right. Well.
We'll be there. We'll be around. Who knows? Maybe I'll do it. Maybe
it's better. So here's...
You know how things are. It's like we have stuff planned, and then everyone shows up,
God.
And the entire plan changes.
True. Very fluid, knows? But it's always super fun.
Right.
That opening ceremony, too, gets a little wacky.
It does.
Because you just don't know what's going to happen there.
Right. Right. Right.
I mean, it's just there's...
Somebody grabs the mic.
Yeah. Oh, look at you effing beauts. You know, and then, oh, wait, hold on a second.
I would say among all the conventions in town, nobody does it better than the Blackhawks.
Oh, it's tremendous. And great location, too. In the ballroom there with the opening ceremonies, and then everything splits off to all the different rooms with the interactive activities, meeting the players, getting asked questions. Everything's so accessible. It's super cool.
Yep. So definitely take advantage of that if you can. And congratulations to whoever just ripped us off right here. Let's see.
Congratulations.
It's an 815 number. That's all I know.
And by the way, if you're jonesing for some hockey, you can see Jonathan Toews play tonight. Remember they started that Chicago Pro Hockey League at Fifth Third Arena? They do it during the summer. He's playing tonight, so you can go watch him. His game's just after 6. You know, they do sort of, it's amateurs and pros. He did it last year as well. I think Kane played in a couple games.
Oh, but... I don't like the idea.
You get worried about him getting injured?
Those guys play so many pickup games in the offseason.
Oh, right. That's Fifth Third is the old, that was MB, now it's Fifth Third.
Fifth Third Arena, yeah.
Right, that's next to the United Center.
Yeah, just south of it, just about a block.
Okay, I got to get used to this whole thing, because when, banks are just acquiring banks. Eventually, everything's just going to be Chase Arena, so forget about it.
Right.
Let's not think too hard. But the Fifth Third Arena, which is that it's a great facility for kids and for hockey, amateur hockey teams and amateur, just ice time for people.
Mm-hmm. That's where the development camp is this week for the Blackhawks with all their prospects in town.
Oh. And he's going to be playing.
He's going to be playing tonight.
Why can't they get some guy that we do, that we don't, you know? Why did what is the, you know, the big guys?
It in? I don't know.
And you can get in to see that?
They're tickets. I mean, I don't know the price, but they're reasonable. Yeah. It's not like you're buying Blackhawks tickets.
Right.
It's, you can go, you know, get out of the heat this week and go watch some hockey. At, well,
that's true.
The third
yeah,
arena.
That's a good thing to do. You
know? Rocky's back there. Close the doors!
Right.
The ice is melting! Close the door!
So his game, there's like five games tonight. Starts at 5 and runs to, I believe, 11 o'clock tonight. His game is scheduled for 6:20. I've been told.
Yeah.
Look, it's Jonathan Toews. I don't think anybody's going out there trying to impress the Blackhawks management and try to light up.
You
Jonathan
never know.
Toews. You get out of here. I don't care if you were a first round pick.
I don't know. So is he playing? He's playing with amateurs.
Yeah, they mix it all in. It's like I think some even local amateurs play and guys in different. AHL affiliates and things like that.
I think that's awesome. Imagine the thrill of getting to play with Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They did it last year and it went fine.
What if Rob Johnson takes Jonathan Toews out?
He's been training for this moment. Here's my chance.
This is it. I'm going to get this one finally.
I'm going to drop the gloves, show them I can get a little scrappy if they need me to.
It's the Muay Thai guy rules, you know?
Yeah.
Mai Tai guy. Just go after what you want. Doesn't matter what's in the way.
I'd also like to point out that Mai Tai guy is an adult who has a baseball glove, and he brings it to a game.
And you know how he's Mai Tai guy, right?
Because he likes Mai Tais.
Well, he did the math, and he figured the percentage in a Mai Tai compared to a beer and the cost of a Mai Tai compared to a beer, which I can't completely blame him, because if I go to a sporting event, I always get the heavier beer, because you get more alcohol in it.
Right, you're spending
that
much.
$12 on a beer. I'll take the heavy.
Yeah.
But being so passionate about it to get a personalized jersey with Mai Tai guy on it.
That's a good point.
So really doing the math on it and everything. Yeah.
I'm Mai Tai guy. Get out of my way, kids.
Oh, God. All right. Hey, people are, and I can't explain this, so maybe someone else can for me, because this would not be what I would do. There is a group of people who are lining up to swim in the Chicago River next year.
Well, they're so bummed that they canceled it this year.
This guy, Doug McConnell, and his co-organizer, Don McDonald, which is very, very confusing. Doug McConnell and Don McDonald hope to organize a 2.5-mile open water swim in the Chicago River.
Ew.
For September of 2020. It hasn't been done, they said, in nearly 100 years. There may be a good reason for that. And imagine, and 100 years ago, it was because people fell in and they couldn't get out.
Ooh, don't say that. Yeah, that was a horrible situation.
There isn't a defined path that you're supposed to take to get something like this approved. So I can understand why the city departments were a little betwixt.
Well, they were supposed to do it this September. And so the city kind of came in at the last minute and said, no. It's not going to happen this summer. Or this September.
This could cost $150,000. He's hoping that companies and buildings along the river will take part in this. And he's got some, he also has some charities.
Right.
ALS and some other things that he wants to do this for. And the proposed path, now listen to this.
Okay.
So I don't know how this goes, because this is not the prettiest part of the river, I don't think. It's from Ping Tong Memorial Park, which is down in Chinatown. And then up along the way past Roosevelt, you know, like that, where that all that construction is right mm-hmm. now, or that's actually just sort of empty land.
Along the banks of what they call the 78.
Yep. And then you get into downtown. That's pretty.
Yeah.
Right? When you get into downtown.
That's where everyone kayaks.
Right. And then you make the turn, and you basically stop at, like, Clark Street, which I don't understand. That's not the that's the part of the river, at least the people that we've talked to about the river, uh-huh. that's the part of the river that is not the freshest water, because the freshest water is further east where the lake flows into the river because of the locks.
But you don't want to get too close to the locks if you're swimming.
That's true. That's a separate issue. That's why we have personal injury attorneys. But
it's not going to be the freshest part. The interesting part here is they're saying that this wasn't because of the unhealthfulness of the river.
Yeah.
That it was more because they were concerned that there were boat traffic and currents in the river that could pose problems for the swimmers.
This is a bad idea under all circumstances.
Wasn't the water?
I'm sorry. I wish them the best. Maybe they could do it in the lake. You know, there's a whole swimming area in the lake.
We're not lacking places to swim.
Right. I mean, the lake is the lake's got its own problems. Like, don't go in the bathtub or playpen or whatever they call that, because that's got weird currents. But there are some areas in the lake where you can do some open, you know, water swimming if you want to do that.
So you're not supposed to go in the water in the playpen.
Yeah, everyone's
area?
In the playpen.
I was gonna say every weekend I see boomerangs of girls jumping off boats into into the lake.
That's that particular area is now. There's a swimming lane in there between the Ohio Street Bridge and Oak Street. But you got to be very careful in that, because there are people that jump in around the Chicago Avenue underpass and try to swim across to Olive Park, and they don't make it because it's a lot further than it looks.
That's true.
And there's a side current that takes you straight out to the other side of Navy Pier. From there, it kind of rips around.
Yikes.
Just telling you, you don't need it.
I just sit in that floatable Lauren Lapka thing in a little kiddie pool area. Yeah. Just kind of soaking there. I don't want to be out in the wilds trying to swim.
The playpen is not. And plus, you know, like on a Saturday or a Sunday, you jump in the water of the playpen. You don't know what's going to. When you pull back out, you don't know what's going to be on your toes, you know, or attached to your swimsuit. Ew, what is. Oh, God. Oh, no.
It's a frat bro hanging on to me.
Right. That could
be, happen.
That could be, too. And there's a lot of hats to the back there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's like you're not allowed to go into the playpen area on a boat. This is the area between Ohio Street Beach and the turn at Lakeshore Drive. You're not allowed to go in there unless you have your hat to the back.
Rules are rules, people.
Right.
Hat to the back.
And you have to have rented your boat or be on your friend's boat, but claim it's your boat.
And have a fake captain.
Right. This is a guy that it turns out the guy was actually chartering the boat illegally to you. Because he's not an actual charter captain. He's just on his cell phone. We'll pick you up. We'll take you out there, right?
Dude, I could totally take you out
there. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Even though you just met the guy on the interwebs, right?
Right. Sure.
Or some app somewhere.
Sounds safe.
The fake captain app. Cappy to the back. I don't know. I'll work this out. And then you got to get out there, and then you got to make sure that that there's more alcohol than could be expected in the vodka lemonade for the people to be drinking. And then the next thing you know, it's bad.
We've lost Becky. Where is Becky?
I found her top, but not her body.
Oh, gosh.
Amber! Here, Amber!
I think she left with Tommy. Where's Tommy? Here's his backward hat. It's floating in the water.
It's still backwards.
It's still
so
backwards
weird.
While it floats in the water. That's nuts.
I like when they tie all the boats up next to each other, and then people walk across the boats, and then they're 5-6 boats away, and then they can't get, and then their boat leaves.
Or they had too much to drink, and it really shouldn't even attempt it.
Right, and they're on the wrong boat at that point.
Yeah, they're like, I'll just go back with you. You know, it doesn't matter.
Hi, I'm Amber.
And then she starts crying. I don't know where my friends are.
I'm missing Johnny, but I have his backwards ball cap.
Look, it's still backwards.
I'm still wearing it, but I don't know where my phone is.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot. You know what happens when you get to like DuSable Harbor and the places where these things, you know, where the fake captain drops you off and acts like he's tying up. All right, now remember, my name is Joe. Call me Joe. When you get off the boat, make sure you act like we're friends. Otherwise, I'm going to jail. They actually did a nab a guy last week for this. This is kind of a funny story where the guy were out there looking. They've been trying to crack down on these guys.
Yeah.
They're calling them pirates, right? That are going out there, and he tells the people to act like they're friends, and then all of a sudden, there was the Coast Guard that went and grabbed them up, and the Coast Guard was like, "What's this guy's name?" And they're like, "I don't know. I just this is on an app." He's like, "Oh, come on! I told you, call me Joe."
He had a cool backwards hat on.
And the wraparound glasses. And completely white eyelids and a totally tan face. All right. Are we ready now to find out from Kim what's happening in the news at the top of the hour?
Mayor Lightfoot has made her picks for the location of a Chicago casino.
Mm-hmm. Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in about 2 minutes. So don't go anywhere. On the other side, a top five at five that will entertain and alarm you all at the same time. That does it for me every day. And then Mr. Roper is going to be here to talk about this incredible documentary about the 1995 Chicago heat wave that's getting all this critical acclaim, but it's particularly relevant for the next couple of days. So we'll talk about that. And Crocodile Frank will be here to play News or Ruse. He's America's hero.
He really is. Certainly Chicago's hero. Throughout the first pitch, he's turned on the lights on the Buckingham Fountain. He had some Lou Malnati's pizza. I mean, the guy, he's just being given the royal treatment.
Oh, man. What a moment this has all been. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And then White Sox baseball coming your way at 7 o'clock tonight, right here on 720 WGN Chicago. The Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasio is right here on 720 WGN.
Bad news for everyone who used that face app that aged you, you know, that whole thing. The viral sensation.
Yes.
It's developed in St. Petersburg by a Russian company that's based in a Russian government building.
Oh, the IRG, would it be?
Yes.
I think the IRG.
Collecting your data and your pictures and access to your social media and keeping.
What don't they already have of ours?
Yeah, you know what? We should probably assume they do. But there you go.
I'm just glad I have all my hair left in the aging picture. That was what I was most excited about.
Yeah, you had a big, thick white hair.
Yeah.
Look
really
good.
All I really cared about.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it's accurate, too. Yeah. You know, it's like dead science on this.
Right? Yeah. Lauren was kind enough to do that for all of us yesterday and then send us all the pictures of ourselves aging. Uh-huh. I looked like the last scene of 2001, A Space Odyssey, where the guy's lying in bed dying. You know, like they progressively age the astronaut.
Right.
Spoiler alert. And the he's only 50 years old. And the there's like this moment where you're like, I just, you know, it's really, the guy looks really creepy.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I look like in that. So I'd like to thank Lauren for that, because that really helped me, you know, through all of my
stuff. Someone said you look like a CBS News Sunday morning anchor, and I thought was pretty spot on.
60 Minutes correspondent?
Yes. Right.
The there 60, he is. Is that Steve Croft?
You know, the 60 Minutes correspondent right before they die,
yeah, right?
Because they die in their boots at 60 Minutes.
And they're all in their 90s,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Long lives for those guys.
Yeah. They got the good health care in New York. So thanks, Lauren. Really appreciate that.
Anytime.
Mm-hmm. That was just kind of interesting. I was very I liked a couple weeks ago. Lauren did the thing where made us all into the opposite sex.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
And female liked, Roe, is she single?
I know that.
Seriously,
female Roe is pretty hot, and
hot
I'm like,
woman.
I'm like, all right then. See, now that I like that. Instead, now I look like I'm near death.
I can make you look younger too.
Oh, they have the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a baby or like
no, just younger.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Would you like me to do that? Will that help you, Ro? You feel better?
Russia wants to know what talk show hosts in America looked like when they were young, middle-aged, and older.
You go ahead and do that, Lauren. I just want you to know that Sergey's got all your information.
Good thing I don't have a life.
And he's sending it over to the, what's his face, the guy that Boris Epstein. And then because he's in charge of all of that now for them, too. I'm telling you, the Russians are behind a lot of stuff. There's a lot of weird stuff going on right now. And you just know that they're playing with us still again. All right, but in the meantime.
Yes, we have other things to get to.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
The squad did a media tour this morning, appearing on a couple of the morning shows. And here they are sitting down with Gayle King. Of course, this is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley. And they were asked by the CBS morning show host, Ms. King, Well,
we can talk about and spin out on hate, about hateful words, which are a predictable prompt by the occupant of this White House, and I call him that, not because I don't have respect for the Oval Office.
But it sounds like you don't have respect for the Oval Office when you call the President of the United States the occupant.
No, because he is only occupying the space. He does not embody the principles, the responsibility, the grace, the integrity of a true president. And so for that reason, I'm not dishonoring the office. He does every day. Mm-hmm.
See, this is where it all started with Barack Obama, too, right? And he had all the people in the three-cornered hats running around going, the current occupant, who, by the way, was not a real president because he was born in Kenya. Right? I mean, that whole crazy stuff that was going on. That is how nutty this whole thing has become. Now, I got to say that I thought that Barack Obama at least comported himself in a more presidential manner than President Trump. But the one thing Republicans can get away with saying, apparently, without raising the ire of Donald Trump is, well, I just wish he wouldn't tweet as much. Somehow they get away with that. But he'll turn on them, too.
Yeah.
Anybody who is not completely loyal to him, he's going to take out on Twitter or, you know, some other way and say bad things, mean things. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I think that America has always been a story, and America has always been about the triumph of people who fight for everyone versus those who want to preserve rights for just a select few. And there is no bottom to the barrel of vitriol that will be used and weaponized to stifle those who want to advance rights for all people in the United States.
All right. There she is.
She's getting a lot of airtime. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think Nancy Pelosi is like, make it stop.
It's just, we can't hold the party together.
Right,
like,
if we don't
duct tape.
If we don't put this all together, it'll be the over of all of this, and then you're going to get, as Michael Steele explained to us, there's an opportunity for Republicans to take back the House of Representatives, keep the Senate, and keep the White House, and then you can expect President Trump for 14 years, because he will try to change that law. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that will do it, because it's just one of those things. He's like Ursula the Sea Witch. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know how it happens. All right.
What constitution?
Number four.
Yeah, where are all the guys were running around with the three-cornered hats in 2011, you know, in 2010, screaming about the Constitution. Where are they now? Like, oh, I like this guy. See, now, I was just yelling about that Constitution because, you know, I didn't like the black guy in the White House. Now, did you see that even Limbaugh today was like that whole thing about fiscal responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
That's
out the window?
That's out the window. He said that that never really was a big deal. Which is crazy because that's the biggest thing the Republicans always stood by was, you know, for 30 years, fiscal responsibility.
Right.
And now the deficit has ballooned to $1 trillion. With a T.
No one seems to have a problem.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We'll work it out.
Donald Trump, baby!
All right, well, speaking of that, he's on his way to Greenville, North Carolina, where he's going to have, I'm sure, a very dignified rally tonight, which is what he's kind of known for. But on his way out, he stopped by the helicopter to say a few words about the squad and whether or not he regrets in any way saying what he said. Of course not.
No, if people want to leave our country, they can. If they don't want to love our country, if they don't want to fight for our country, they can. I'll never change on that, no.
Well, why didn't he leave then? Why wasn't he required to leave when he hated the country, when Barack Obama was president? I'd like to know the answer to that. He got elected, and he wanted to change the country, right? Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what these ladies did. I mean, I don't agree with them, but that's what they did. They got elected, but now they got to leave. They're going to leave. One way or the other.
I do think I'm winning the political fight. I think I'm winning it by a lot. I think that they are not espousing the views of our country, the four congresswomen. I think that they've said horrible things that the press doesn't cover. I think you should try covering it. When you look at some of the things they said, they're unthinkable. If somebody else or me or anybody else said things like that, it would be historic. So you ought to look at some of the horrible statements, because there's never been statements like that.
Well, they did cover it. I remember them. But, okay.
I'm not relishing the fight. I'm enjoying it because I have to get the word out to the American people. And you have to enjoy what you do. I enjoy what I do. The key is, it's not a question of relishing. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. That's not where our country wants to be. We're not going to go, and we're not going to be a socialist country. It's not going to happen.
Said Nancy Pelosi as well.
but on the same page on that one.
But wait, here we go. Wait till you hear this.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the fact that she was married to a brother. I know nothing about it. I hear she was married to a brother. You're asking me a question about it. I don't know, but I'm sure that somebody would be looking at that.
That's about that? Ilhan Omar. Oh. There's some internet rumor that she was married to her brother.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, in some sort of, you know, forced religious kind of thing.
And of course, like something Roger Stone would make
yeah.
up.
Right, exactly. And then and look, and that's great. He's going along. Wait, can you play that again? Because this is how he does it. And he likes to pretend like, oh, hey, no, I didn't say this.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the fact that she was married to a brother. I know nothing about it. I hear she was married to a brother. You're asking me a question about it. I don't know, but I'm sure that somebody would be looking at that.
All right. There you go. What? There you go. A lot of people are talking about it.
Many people say.
All right. I kind of think that would have made it out. I could be wrong.
I would think so, too.
Well, remember, she got censured, right, for the whole Israel thing. She's the one. She's the only one who really went down that road about Israel and the Benjamins, all about the Benjamins baby thing, mm-hmm. when she tweeted that out. And she got censured for it. So, her politics do not appeal to me, but... right now we're in Crazy Town. We are on the last train out of Crazy Town, and it's packed, and I don't think we can get on it.
There is a story, by the way, in the Minnesota Star Tribune about mm-hmm. that issue.
Yes.
So there's something.
Is it a news story or
is actual newspaper? I was looking for June. Yeah.
I hear she's married to her brother.
Yeah, it wasn't. I learned that the president is a primary source.
Yeah, all right. Maybe she is.
It just says new investigative documents released by a Minnesota state agency have given fresh life to those questions about her marital.
So everybody is talking about it.
History.
Okay.
It was June. Yeah, June of this year.
Oh God. Oh God. All right.
I didn't even see that story, but there
what,
it is.
What
it's there.
Happened here?
You want it?
Huh? All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, here is Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, the Humboldt Park gator, will soon be living at a 5-star farm.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Rocon Show with Anna DeBlancis right here at 720 WGN. Top 5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
Alligator expert Crocodile Frank Robb was hoping to go incognito when the city hired him to trap the alligator in the Humboldt Park Lagoon. Now that's, you know, of course, after Alligator Bob had very little success.
He didn't.
But now he's the city's newest celebrity. Throwing out the first pitch, the Cubs game, Wrigley Field yesterday. Turning on Buckingham Fountain this morning, playing News or Ruse later today on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, I was at the fountain today. People were like, hey, how's the alligator doing?
Yeah, he's very obviously been used to being handled. He's not concerned at all when you reach down to pick him up. Now, where he was at and catching him, him being pressured so much, he became very, very shy. And, became very wild. Now that he's back and being kind of handled and they're moving him around, he's very, very relaxed. Very, very chill.
Mm-hmm. Very, very chill.
That that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. Some good health. He was totally taken in a humane way, and now he's going to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what he's got to go do.
He's got to go to St. Augustine. Frank, isn't Frank from St. Augustine? So, like,
yeah.
Are they going to hang out?
Maybe. We'll talk to him coming up in a little bit. He's going to be here for News Aru, so we can ask about that. There must be a sanctuary or some kind of deal.
Yeah.
Or maybe just better, you know, better living conditions. Or maybe it turns out he's 80 years old and he's got to go.
That's what happens.
The law, you know.
Chicagoans, you know, that's what they do.
That's exactly what happens. All right, checking in at
number two.
Whatever the truth is, defines the reality of you and I forever. And I need to be able to define that before I can walk away.
I thought it was forever at the time, but maybe I was lying to myself.
Oh, God.
Who is that?
That's Aubrey O'Day, Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
And, well, she's now on a reality show. And she's standing by her contention that she and Donald Trump Jr. are soulmates.
Oh, boy.
Yep. She's on MTV's X on the Beach.
Don Trump Jr. is an ex. He's my soulmate. After Don, I dated Pauly D.
Mm.
I've had a pretty rough couple years. I'm finally trying to date again. What I'm attracted to physically is brains.
Are you sure?
Sounds like it.
How do you recognize that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe to her level of, you know, brains. But
she likes the brain. It's her favorite organ. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is where we are now. I just want to... I don't know how to keep telling you people this, but this is where we are now. I don't know of other ways to actually be able to communicate that.
Did she date him for like a day? How do I not know Aubrey O'Day?
Oh, no, it was a while. He was with when his wife was pregnant.
Oh.
Remember?
Oh, okay. Yeah, she was the one who came out and talked about it.
Yes. Right, not a mistress.
Yes.
So you called him your soulmate.
I did.
Right?
Yeah.
What would he say?
He would say I was his soulmate, too, but he won't say that.
All right. He won't dare
speak on any of this because he can't, because he chose what he chose and he's living it now. No, I loved that man for his soul. I didn't care about his title.
Okay, but if you loved him and you don't want to be attached to the presidency,
yeah.
And let's say you guys were together, you would have to be attached to the presidency.
Right, which is why we're not together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why. Not because he was married or you're probably awful, but...
I wonder if he's digging into his DMs right now looking for her.
What's your message to Kimberly Guilfoyle at this point?
I'm good luck. She's a talking side piece next to him. I don't think he likes her because she fishes and does active things, and he likes doing those things.
All right,
so maybe they're, you know, she has the same f***ed up views that he has now.
Whatever. Why does everyone talk like Kristen Cavallari now?
I don't know, and
I
don't
know. Is that the new way to talk?
I just have no idea why that didn't last.
Number one.
Retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, who was appointed by President Gerald Ford in 1975 as a moderate, later became a leading liberal voice, has died. Stevens served on the Supreme Court until he retired at the age of 90 back in 2010. In an interview then, he talked about the Bush versus Gore Florida recount.
And I remember both of us saying to one another, well, I guess we're going to have to meet tomorrow on this, but that'll take us about 10 minutes because there's obviously no merit to it. Because in order to get a stay of in any situation, the applicant has to prove irreparable injury. And there just obviously wasn't any irreparable injury to allowing a recount to go through, because the worst that happens is you get a more accurate count of the votes. But much to our surprise, on the next day, the majority did decide to grant a stay.
And then there was this. He gave his final ruling on Babe Ruth's called shot in Game 3 of the World Series against the Cubs.
He took the bat in his right hand and pointed it right at the center field stands. And then, of course, the next pitch, he hit a home run in center field. And there's no doubt about the fact that he did point before he hit the ball.
So the called shot actually happened.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
That's your ruling.
That's my ruling.
Case closed.
That's one ruling I will not be reversed on. I'm sure of that.
Wow. He was 99, so he was there. He was at that game.
Incredible.
Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens.
The top five at five.
Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh.
I heard you say Nickelback size hail, so that's why we played this.
Oh my gosh.
Is that right?
Oh. Wow. Yeah, the listeners are telling us they're seeing some of those storm clouds. Mm. They look pretty
ominous. Yeah. Mm. A lot going on here in the environment. I don't feel good about this. I don't know what to do about any of this.
Right.
Richard Roper has stepped into the studio with us, and he would like to review for our viewing interest Cooked: Survival by Zip Code, which is a documentary about the heat wave of 1995 here in Chicago.
Yeah, talk about timing. It's actually playing at the Siskel Center right now. It has opened already, and it's this week. So I thought it would be a good week to talk about it. And I want to talk to both Ro and Anna because you know so much about what happened. But obviously, we've got this big heat coming. But in 1995, yeah. August of 1995, we had heat that I think got up to 104 degrees, some of the hottest days in Chicago history. But what we didn't see coming was the absolute epidemic of death. So the death toll that finally reached 739, and a lot of people think that's probably an undercount of right. how many people really died from heat. What I find fascinating about this documentary, guys, called Cooked, is a filmmaker, Judith Helfand, who has done documentaries about other types of natural disasters, and then she was reading about the 1995 heat wave and looked at it and said, why do we not consider heat waves natural disasters officially? In other words, you know, we talk about tornadoes, we talk about hurricanes, floods, forest fires. There's no government official designation, even though heat waves kill more people every year than all of the other natural disasters put together, by far. And so she came to Chicago and kind of went back and looked through the archives, studied the statistics. And of course, we know this, everybody probably listening, most people know this, certainly if you were old enough to remember this, that in 90% of Chicago, the heat wave was, wow, we got to hydrate, we got to drink more water, we can't go outside too much, we got to stay in the air conditioning. And in a couple of neighborhoods, it meant people were dying. They only died in a couple of neighborhoods, the poorest neighborhoods.
Yeah,
and she really drills down deep into the effects of that. Let's hear some of the most fascinating things, of course, are the media coverage at the time, which was stellar, actually. Chicago reporters, both on television and in the newspapers and on radio, they didn't just let this go and say, oh, that was a heat wave. And they were all over it for a long time because the numbers got so big so fast. And Mayor Daley, who was in charge, of course, at the time, wasn't so great at responding to that or dealing with the pressure. So we got a clip here from the film of some of the early press conferences about the heat wave.
The sun sets tonight on one of the hottest days in Chicago history, an official high of 104 degrees at O'Hare Airport.
It's hot. It's hot out there. We all walk out there. It's very, very, very hot. We go to extremes in Chicago. And that's why people love Chicago. We go to extremes.
At that point, though, that seems almost out of context. Was that after people were already dying?
Yes,
Mayor,
but again, you know, the numbers were coming in, but that was well before we knew that there was a huge number. It was the second day, I think, of the heat wave.
We didn't find a lot of the dead people for days.
Yeah,
that was the issue.
That's absolutely true.
There's two things that need to be pointed out about that heat wave is that it was 5 days. Where the average high temperature was over 100 degrees.
Right.
The problem really was, and huge humidity numbers. You know, I think the dew point was 79 degrees or something. So that's a big deal. The temperature at night never got below 80 degrees, and that's what the killer was.
Absolutely.
People couldn't cool their bodies down, and they kept saying, people go, you know, get in your bathtub, but the bathtub water wasn't you know cold enough. And it wasn't just people dying in the city of Chicago. They died, you know, you stop and you go through some of the suburbs of Chicago, some of the, in the western suburbs, southern suburbs, even in the northwest suburbs, there are, you know, little homes that don't have air conditioning, and they were as affected by this as well. So that number, when we do 739 as a number, that does not account, that accounts for a Chicago number. It doesn't count for all of the environs. And this was right after it was, this time of year, a little bit later than this.
Yeah.
And it was right after Taste of Chicago. And, you know, the Taste of Chicago had those refrigerator trucks that you would see with the big logos on the side of them that for the company that owned them.
Right.
And they were all over Grant Park. And then they were back in Grant Park, and they were there to store the bodies.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough, there was not enough space in at the hospitals or the morgue, you know, the Cook County system to house all of those bodies.
Who can forget those images?
Exactly. And that's what that's really was that was one of the points, the tipping points where people really woke up to what was happening. Four giant refrigerator trucks. And they, you know, the film, she does such a wonderful job of going back and finding people and talking to people, including one woman who talks about finding her grandmother dead in her grandma's apartment, seeing them take the body, and she said they just took her body and laid it on top of a bunch of other stacks of bodies like a cord of wood. There wasn't any sort of, you know, it wasn't a really, there wasn't time, unfortunately, for people to say, let's do this in a more dignified manner. They dug a mass grave at a cemetery in the suburbs for like 30 bodies. And again, this is 1995 Chicago. This isn't, you know, the Civil War. This isn't third world countries. And as Roe was talking about too, you know, we project, I think all of us do this that are lucky enough to be able to get it. Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Well, we're talking about people, a lot of times their windows were nailed shut because they were afraid of somebody coming into the neighborhood.
Right.
They didn't have access necessarily just to walk to the neighborhood theater and get into an air-conditioned place. The police at the time were saying, hey, come to our stations, but you can understand.
Go to the library.
A lot of people. And then you talk about, well, the relatives. Well, not everybody has relatives. The other thing is, a lot of the people who died obviously were older and had pre-existing conditions that were often listed as the cause of death, even though they died from the heat wave. But the, you know, the official cause of death would be, well, they had heart disease, they had diabetes, they would have died anyway. But they wouldn't have died that week. They didn't have access to health care. The average lifespan in Englewood is 22 years shorter than the average lifespan of someone who lives downtown. That's just on hold for a number of factors, including violence. And that was the other thing. As the death toll mounted and reporters stayed on Mayor Daley, he kept pivoting away from any responsibility. At one point he said, well, these aren't violent deaths. The filmmaker calls this movie Cooked because you were literally cooked inside your own home. And she says, I can't think of a much more violent way to die. But he also kept talking about how people should have been more responsible. And we've got some news clips from that time.
I'm not insensitive. I am not insensitive. I hope you say, maybe I'm not insensitive.
But when you keep questioning death causes.
No. I'm asking, you ask me the question, I'm responding. Don't ask me these questions, I won't respond.
Order for all of us better.
No, don't ask me the question, so I won't respond.
There was a lot of that. And he challenged the medical examiner at one point and said, you know, who said, you know, you're more than welcome to launch a full investigation to every single finding I found. Bring it on. Because he was trying to say that they were, and the last thing they were trying to do was maximize and exacerbate the problem. He was saying they were overstating it. Anything to avoid taking any kind of responsibility for this happening in his city.
Well, and there's not much one can do other than to try to get social services out. And I remember he implored people to talk to their relatives, you know, to make sure that, you know, you're checking out. Because he was basically sending it back out to the individuals and saying, listen, you got to take care of your own family.
We have to appeal to all the family members of seniors to call, go over there, see their mother or father or their aunt and uncle. That is a must.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to point out, too, the film is not saying this is all the mayor's fault. Because Rose said, there's nothing you could have done that week in a lot of these cases. It was the response that wasn't there, like response, and the fact that nothing has really changed in 25 years.
Other than there's more air conditioning.
There's more air conditioning, and there's more ways to get the word out, obviously, because of social media and stuff. So someone who was 17 at the time and just wasn't thinking might go visit a great aunt because they're going to see something on social media. One of the most incredible things I saw in this film that I'd never been aware of is that the filmmaker talks about how the government allocates so many funds, and a lot of it, it's all for responding. There are also all kinds of, you know, those giant trucks that will show up that, you know, for emergency responses, but it's all after the fact. But at one point, the Department of Homeland Security allocated $250,000 for one of those extensive drills in the neighborhood of Englewood to respond to tornadoes. And there's footage of all these, you know, the paramedics, the firemen, the volunteers in one of the worst neighborhoods of Englewood. So it looks like it had been hit by a tornado. And they're all going through this practice drill about how to respond when a tornado hits Englewood. You know the last time a tornado hit Englewood?
I turned the century? Never?
the middle of the 19th century, there were some tornadoes that hit Chicago. So, you know, it's kind of incredible when you see this extensive, you know, amount of money instead of something more where they could say, let's get more, you know, word out, preparation. her whole thing is that the government approach, society's approach to heat waves and a lot of disasters is to react afterward and not to talk about what it could have been prevented in the first place. Yeah. And that there's certainly no easy answer.
Well, and sadly, the zip code, which is part of the title, determine your chances of survival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your access to air conditioning. That was basically all it was. It was the difference. And it was hot. I mean, I remember it very, very well.
Yeah.
And it was, as if you're outside, it was a weird, wasn't like hot like you're in the desert hot, because it was so humid, you were vibrating. The heat was vibrating off of you.
Yeah, it really was. But as you guys point out, I mean, you could, if you're anywhere in downtown Chicago, you don't have to go a block before you could step into almost any kind of place you can imagine.
Get cool and then step out again.
So the film's called Cooked. Play at the Cisco Center, and then it'll be available on home video. 3.5 stars. And quite a horrible chapter in Chicago's history, unfortunately.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Chicago's preparing for a dangerous heat wave.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan!
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. All right, this is a big moment
Huge.
For us right here.
We have a hero in the studio.
As I said, in the promo for today's activities, I said there are certain names that are synonymous with Chicago. Jean-Baptiste Pontesable, Richard J. Daley, Daniel Burnham, and now Frank Robb, the Crocodile Frank. Is that really your nickname, Crocodile Frank, or did somebody give that to you?
I've never heard the Crocodile Frank one before.
Oh, well, that must have just been a headline, because it was everywhere.
I know. Why were they doing that? Who would do that to you?
Because you're an alligator guy in Florida.
Yeah, I do research with crocodilians, though, so
whatever
makes them happy.
Yeah, because we had Alligator Bob. I think that's what was really going on there. I think that's what's going on. And Kelly Gandersky is with us. She's the executive director of the Chicago Animal Care and Control, who was the one in charge of making sure that all of this, you know, went off right. And she was the one who said, all right, out of the park. Everybody's getting out of the
park. Putting fencing up, back off, even you, reporters.
The alligator's nervous. You all have to leave.
We need a calm environment.
That sounds just like me. Hi, how are you?
Good. Well, that's about what happened, though, right? Because it was, you needed to get everybody out. And as soon as we got everybody out, and then Frank was able to sort of coax the thing to the top. Now, I just want to make sure I understood this. By the way, if you want to play News or Ruse, 312-981-7200. I forgot to ask for the people, the contestants.
Yeah, because we got
to
do that.
So we got to do that. So get on the lines right now. We'll get right to this. But you mentioned something about vocalizing. Was it you vocalizing at the alligator, or the alligator vocalizing back at you?
Yeah, there's been a misconception, I guess, that the alligator was vocalizing back to me. I was vocalizing to him. Although there are occasions sometimes where a gator will vocalize back to you when you talk to him.
Yeah, but this one didn't.
No.
But that was you doing it with your mouth. It wasn't a recording or something like that you were playing.
No, ma'am. No, there's some guys that do use recordings, but... I'm blessed.
22 years.
You speak gator.
Can I just say something about the vocalization? Yes. So I was at the park with Frank when he first got there and doing the surveillance all through the park, and I'm hearing this alligator noise, and I'm like, "Well, where's that coming from?" So I start running around the park because the park's shut down at this point, and I see Frank with this headlamp on in the brush and the cattails making the sound, and I'm like, "That is him. That is outrageous."
Wow.
And like then I said, I've got the guy I need.
And then you knew it then.
I knew.
Nothing against Alligator Bob.
No,
it's fine. But here's the interesting thing. Now, in your line of work, right? I mean, in Florida, you're dealing with this a lot, right?
Yeah, we deal with it a lot. Yeah,
alligators tend to get into places that they, you know, swimming pools and other places that they shouldn't normally be, or in people's backyards. They go running around things, golf courses, right?
There's been a lot more crazy places.
What's the hardest one?
None of them are easy. Anybody that tells you catching an alligator is easy doesn't know what they're talking about.
What's the craziest
place? Yeah, what's the craziest one?
Caught one out of a missile silo and on the Patrick Air Force Base. It had, actually, it's a 45th Space Wing. It had fallen into a 110-foot deep hole. That was interesting.
That's Cape Canaveral, right?
Yeah, I've caught them out of elevators. The most interesting ones are usually culvert pipes. You guys don't call them culvert pipes. They're water structures. But underneath our neighborhoods, we're down there in Florida, the rainwater all goes into these pipes, and it goes into the neighborhoods, and sometimes you got to pop a manhole lid and go for a crawl.
Oh, no.
It's
to find a gator.
Oh, boy.
You want a real rush. That's what you do for a good time.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Oh, gosh.
You know what, Frank? I don't need a real rush. I'm fine. I'm good.
Thank God we have you.
Yeah. Wait, how long have you been doing this?
This is year 24.
Wow. Congratulations to you on this. This is, well, and when you got the call, I mean, was there any, did you stop? Well, wait. Chicago, but this must happen all the time up here, right? Up north in places where people keep these things as pets and let them go.
It's the maybe the first time I've heard about it. I know my uncle and I, I learned from, we had heard about one many, many moons ago that a guy we knew went on to San Francisco, and he did not come back successful. But we had been watching this whole story develop down there in Florida the whole time and had been discussing the whole thing, and I was actually out catching a couple gators that morning before I got the call. And when I sit down and was I had a call from St. Augustine, said that they had shared my number with some people in Chicago, and I just kind of chuckled. I'm like, well, that's interesting. And then it wasn't a few months later I got a call from Kelly, and this all kind of went
about
together.
That?
There you go.
And the gator's going back with you to St. Augustine?
He's not going back with me directly, but we will be hanging out together.
To a sanctuary. And
yes,
yeah.
He'll be going to the alligator, the St. Augustine Alligator Farm and Zoological Park in St. Augustine, which is a legit 5-star resort for crocodilians. It's unlike any
that?
Other place in the entire world. Wow. He'll be a rock star there.
He's going to tell everybody the story. I mean, I can't believe this. I was able to elude these guys for 7 days, really, before they figured the whole thing out. I mean, that's true. He's going to be number one on the cell block, I can tell you that.
You're going to love him.
Well, congratulations. It's been a ton of fun. It's just, you know, to me, we were talking about this is my favorite story of the city because it's a fun story. Everything worked out okay. Everything's good for the crocodile and for the city. And there was a lot. We made national headlines for something, you know, fun and not tragic, which is, I think, a step in the right direction. So we're all good. And you have become a cultural hero here.
That is not why I came to Chicago by any means. You know, I came here to do the job. My plan was to kind of be low profile, get in here, take care of something, and get gone. And the way it worked out was definitely not that, but it's been an extreme blessing. The city of Chicago is the best place I've ever visited in my entire life. Everybody from animal services to the police department, the emergency services department, it's all just been an absolute blessing. A bunch of great people, the public too, just you couldn't ask for a better place.
Okay, you may have thrown out the first pitch. You may have started Buckingham Fountain today, but the most important thing you can do in Chicago cultural history is play News or Ruse, the fastest-growing radio game show in American history, which is what we say. It's not true, but it's what we say. So let us do this right now.
Let's
here we go.
It.
We have our contestants. Dave is playing with Kim. Jim is playing with Lauren. And then Jeff is playing with Frank and Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what we got. That going. Something is broken here, and I don't want to. There's broken glass over here, people. We need to fix it. I don't know. One of my buttons broken. I don't know if it's glass or whatever. Here's what we're playing for: $75 certificate from Green Tea Services. Now, let me just point something out. I'm complaining about a piece of broken plastic. This man grabbed an alligator by the mouth and pulled it out of the water. That if you need home services, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification system, or carpet cleaning, call 800-5-GREEN-TEA or go to greenteaservices.com and a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men, call 855-955-HVAC. And runners up, get a pair of tickets to see Dave Koz and Friends, Summer Horns, Friday the 26th at Silver Creek Event Center, Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. All right, here we go. Here's your first headline, Dave and Kim.
All right, Dave.
You ready? Here you go. Fake snake gets Orlando man banned from community pool for fifth time.
Oh, this could be a setup between the Florida thing and the gator and the snake. But it probably is true, Dave. What do you think?
I'll go true, too. I mean, sounds like it.
Yeah. Oh, I knew it. You were calling it out there, Kim. Your instincts were correct. All right, Jim and Lauren, here's your headline. City hopes baby shark song will drive homeless away.
Okay, Jim, I want to hear what you think because I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
Okay, then I'll defer to you. I'm thinking maybe it's true.
It is definitely news. I've read this.
All right.
All right, here we go. This is a big one. Jeff, Frank, Kelly, here you go. Police apprehend penguins who keep sneaking into sushi restaurant.
I'm going to go ruse on that one.
Yeah, that can't be true. There's no way that's true.
All right. Jeff, are you agreeing?
I say it's fake.
Yeah.
No, it's all true.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm sorry that that had to happen.
Totally happened.
Yeah, this, what? Yeah, New crap Zealand. Like that happens.
Yeah, stuff happens like this. This is what we learn in News or Ruse.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. There is a...
would be you here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just was trying to read up and find out what had happened there, and I don't have any more information at the moment.
Dave and Kim, here's your headline.
Here's your headline. Report of dead body in park. Actually, headless sex doll.
All right. Well, that sounds more realistic. I think it's news.
I'll say news as well.
All right.
You got it. Totally got it.
Yeah, that was... I don't know that... Anytime you have a sex doll involved in any of this, it's probably true. All right, Jim and Lauren, here's your headline. Driver crashed into town hall sign, then demanded Lyft to pot store.
What? Again, crazy enough to be true. What do you think, Jim?
I agree.
All right, news.
This could be a commanding lead right here. All right, now, Jeff, you got to make sure Frank and Kelly get this right with you. Because this is important. This is to stay alive here. Here we go.
Here it is. Toronto man found guilty of impaired operation of a canoe in precedent-setting case.
I can see that being impossible.
Let's go news.
News.
You got it. All right.
All right, we're going to get to round three coming up. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump says he's enjoying the firestorm his go-back tweets have started.
Wow. And the, right now, traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
We're playing News or Ruse with a Chicago, I would say an American hero, Frank Robb, founder of Environmental Education Awareness Research Support and Services, which is a... EEARSS.org in case you find yourself in an alligator or a crocodile kind of problem.
Sure.
Or caiman. I don't know. Maybe you got a caiman in the backyard. Whatever it happens to be. I'm not talking about the car. Frank is your guy. He's the guy that was able to snag Chance the Snapper, which I don't know if I'm fully on board with that name. I just don't know how I feel about it. And Kelly Gandersky, who is the executive director of Chicago Animal Care and Control, who was the one that had to marshal this whole event.
That's right. And she's reminding us that if you do have a pet alligator you want to get rid of, you can bring it to Animal Care and Control. You don't have to put it in a lagoon.
Or call us.
Or call you and you will know where the proper place is.
Yes, please do.
Call 311.
Please don't take matters into your own hand. Please just let us know so we can properly place it.
Right. Got it.
We continue to play here. We've got Dave and Kim. You have one right. And so do Jeff and Frank and Kelly. So here's the deal. You guys, we already have two right with Jim and Lauren.
Right.
Right?
They're leading.
So to stay in this, somebody has to get another one right. We'll start with Dave and Kim. Here is your headline. It's read by Orion Samuelson.
School bus driver blames bad donut for DWI accusations.
What do you think, Dave?
I thought I heard this on the news. I'm going to say yes.
All right. I think I agree with you. Let's go news.
That would be correct if my button was working.
Somehow
there we go.
True.
There you go. All right.
We survived.
Now, Jeff and Frank and Kelly.
Yep.
Got to get this right to stay in the game.
Come on, Jeff.
Come on, team.
Here's your headline.
U.S. energy official rebrands fossil fuels Freedom Gas.
Kelly, you're around politics. Maybe you could jump in at that. What do you think?
I can see some marketing strategy. Somebody thought of that. I'm gonna have to go news on that.
With the current administration, I say true too.
Yeah.
All right, there it is.
Got it. Wow, tying it up.
All right,
everybody's
now,
got two.
Jim and Lauren could run away with it right here. Let's see how they do. Here's your headline.
After almost a decade of work, Detroit welcomes first chartered Juggalo fraternity.
I don't even know what that is. What do you think, Jim?
Does he mean gigolo?
Yeah. Juggalo.
I'm sort of grasping at straws there.
That's the juggalos are the people who like the
They juggle.
Insane Clown Posse.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that could be a thing, but I don't know.
I need an answer.
All right, Jim, I'm going to leave it up to
you. Okay, we'll go true. I go true.
Okay.
True?
Yep.
It's a three-way tie!
Get out! Wow. We have to do a speed round.
If okay. I might just want to say, this will be the second time this week Frank has come from behind for the win.
But I'm bummed.
Dave and Kim, here's your headline. Florida man faces DUI charges after neighbor reports stolen cat scratcher.
I have an inside information on this one, maybe.
You might.
Dave and Kim, what's your answer?
I'm thinking it's a ruse.
I'll go ruse as well.
Correct.
Way to call it out. All right, Jim and Lauren, mysterious orange bird found in England turns out to be a confused seagull covered in curry.
So true. Jim, do you agree?
Jim, you agreeing with the news?
Yeah, I'll agree if you say
so. All right. Might as well.
All right, and let's see here now. To Jeff and Frank and Kelly, South Carolina woman pulled over on toy truck while driving drunk, police say.
I know that's true because I heard it in the news.
In South Carolina?
No.
I'd say news.
No. Wow.
There we go.
This is, wow.
Round four.
Okay, round four. Here we go. We got Dave and Kim, woman named Marijuana Pepsi, who refused to change her name, earns her PhD.
That is true.
That's true. I heard that on the radio.
We did see that one, too.
We really have to stop using stories that we actually put in our own newscast. All right, here we go. Back to Jim and Lauren. Cops disciplined for stealing firefighter snacks.
I could see that being a story as well.
Yeah, I would say true. My dad was a firefighter.
All right,
I see what you're saying. The firefighters always have the best food.
Jeff and Frankie Kelly.
Here it is. Barbed wire stolen from border fence and used for home security in Tijuana, authorities say. Barbed wire stolen from border fence.
I say false.
I'm going to agree false. Ruse.
I think true, but whatever.
Well, you guys make a decision. I need a team. It's a team decision.
All right, team decision. Okay, I'll go along with false.
You really shouldn't have done that.
Very sorry.
But you know what I'm going to do?
Frank's very good at catching alligators.
You know what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to give everybody everything right here.
Nice.
Everybody's getting everything.
Woo!
Because in honor of Frank Rob Day,
yes.
Which is actually Frank Rob Year in Chicago, 2019.
God bless you all.
Thank you very much. Thanks. You know, Frank, thank you for everything you did, because it was just, this has been a ton of fun.
This city is a blessing, honest blessing.
There is, thank you for saying that. I mean, I think there's a lot of us from here. We sometimes question our own faith in these things, but when you came here, and you know what it was really, I think the best part about this, Kelly, was how much people got to learn about the Humboldt Park Lagoon and what a beautiful facility and how great that is out there. And it sort of draws people's attention to it.
Yeah, I've been saying, you know, that there's the positive message here is it feels like it's the story that Chicagoans needed right now and kind of brought everyone together. The park is absolutely gorgeous. Of course, we would have rather people discovered that park without having an alligator dropped into it, but we're looking for the silver lining here, and that's definitely one. You know, every day at Animal Care and Control, we see the good in humanity. We see the people that stop off on their way to work and pick up the injured dog or cat and bring it to us and then follow up with us at Care or Concern. We see far more of those stories than we see the bad stories. And I think this is just a reminder that generally humanity and Chicagoans are just wonderful people and care about animals.
Good reminder. Yeah. That is a good reminder.
And Frank, thanks for everything you've done, man.
That's really, thank you,
Frank. Glad that the city treated you well because you treated us well. Thank you.